Begin the current daf in Masechtas Baba Kama daf Pehei. We begin on the fourth line down with the tab of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, which opened up on the previous daf, Perek HaChevel, talking about the Chamisha Dvarim, five things that a person is liable if he injures another person. Now they are Nezek, Tzar, Ripa, Shevis, and Boishes. So the Mishnah spoke about so far, the Gemara explained the part about Nezek, which is the actual damage. Then it explained that not only are you liable for the damages, that the injury that the victim had incurred, but actually for the pain that he went through. So on that, the Mishnah says that how do we evaluate the amount of pain? How do we quantify that? So the Mishnah says, how much would a person be willing to take for that amount of pain, that injury that it had, besides the injury that he's injured, and now there's a depreciation of its value? How much that pain that he went through would he be willing to take to incur that injury? That's how much we pay him for that pain. So the Gemara asks, Tsar b'makim nezek, the pain in a situation of damage, in other words, if let's say somebody cut off somebody's hand, and he paid him the value of the hand, which is the nezek, that's the first of the five things. Heicha sheminin, how do we evaluate the pain? The problem is, that is part of the process of cutting off the hands that he had to pay him for that value. In other words, if I'm paying you for your hand, you're going to sell me a pound of flesh, you're going to sell me part of you, that I'm going to pay you for the nezek. Now, so obviously you got to go through some pain to get that hand off. So how do we evaluate that there is something additional, which is pain, if that really is part of the damage itself? So Samavu Dishmul, he says, the way we do this is we evaluate how much would a person be willing to take to allow his hand to be cut off. Now the Gemara asks, not understanding fully what Avu Dishmul is saying, L'ktoyla yaday, what do you mean, to cut off his hand? L'itzar l'chudehu, how are you going to evaluate pain over there? There's not just pain over there. Ha'kula chamisha dvarmeka, there's all five things over there. When a person's hand gets cut off, there's damage, there's pain, there's loss of work, there's medical bills, there's humiliation, there's all the five things. How can you use that as an evaluation to assess how much the pain is to pay him that amount of pain? Moreover, the Gemara asks, "B'shufti naskin, are we dealing with fools, with shaitim? What does that mean? Who would be willing to take any amount of money to cut off a piece of himself to lose his hand?" Ella rather explains the Gemara, it means "L'ktoyla yada hakatua." It means to say, how much would a person be willing to take to cut off his already severed hand? In other words, it's just connected by some sinews, but really, it's for all practical purposes, this arm is already done. You can't use it for any practical purposes. So it's regarding that type of situation where there's going to be some pain, that's how you evaluate it. So the Gemara still asks, Yada Hakatua Nami, even a cut off hand, which is just connected by a few strands, there's not only pain over there. There's also additionally besides the pain, there's humiliation. Because the Chesifa Le'mil says it's humiliating for somebody. To take from his flesh and give it to the dogs. In other words, that his hand is just going to be disconnected from him and being fed to the dogs. So you can't use that as a variable to quantify just pain when there's additionally humiliation there. So Ella rather explains the Gemara, Aim din kama adam rates a little. We evaluate how much would a person be willing to take. To cut off his hand, which is anyway has been already decided by the government that is going to be cut off. But how much would a person be willing to take? Bain Saif, they only said, you got to get your hand off. Now he could do it with taking some type of a poison, which it would be a painless procedure. How much would a person be willing to take that he's going to be willing to get it cut off, l'sayif, with a sword? Meaning there's when this injury was done, it was painful. You can get your hand off painless or painful. Now, if the government was willing to do it in a painless way, but if let's say I give you $1,000, $10,000, $50,000, how much money would you be willing to take to get it done painfully? That amount of money is a good assessor to evaluate how much, besides the injury, besides losing the hand, how much would you be willing for that amount of pain? That's how we evaluate the pain itself. Now, Ami, they said, Hachanami, what do you mean here also? Loi shakal, a person wouldn't take any money in the world, umitzar nafshe, and cause himself so much pain. Who would be willing to take money to get their hand severed in such a painful situation? Now, in our case, it already was done. So we want to know after the fact, now that he went through that amount of pain, how much should he be compensated for? But how could we evaluate it based on how much would a person be willing to do that? No one in his right mind would be willing to go through pain to get a certain amount of money. Ella rather, says the Gemara, it's the other way around. Ayim din kama adam reitza liten. How much would a person be willing to give, sometimes this is done as bribes, to the agent of the king, to cut off the hand that was described, appointed by the king, Bein Sayef, which was supposed to be cut off with a sword, Lissam, to downgrade it to a painless procedure of doing it with poison. So although it was supposed to be with Sayef, how much would he be willing to pay to downgrade it to painless? That amount of money is the amount of money that he has to be compensated for the pain. Now, however, on this interpretation, although it's a good approach to explain the Tzar, the Gemara asks, but high litel, so then why does the Mishnah say, how much would a person be willing to litel, to take? So therefore, all the interpretations we were giving up until now, where the victim would have been willing to take a certain amount to get his hand cut off, which we asked no one would do that, litel mibayli, should have said, how much would he be willing to give? Because it's him, how much he would give to make it painless, and in the injury it was painful. So Rafun Bredir Vishui explains, when the Mishnah says the word litel, it means litel ze mi ze, meaning we evaluate how much would a person be willing, meaning litel ze mi ze, for the victim to take from the mazik, mashanosin ze, what this guy would have given to the king. So you're right, the term litel is going on taking from the mazik, but not that's how we evaluate. We evaluate how much he would have been willing to give to actually have made it painless. So although he's getting compensated for the actual injury, for the depreciation, but the pain, how much would he be willing to take what he would have been willing to give? That's how we evaluate the tsar, to quantify the compensation for the value of the pain. Now continuing on the halachas of a Mishnah, the next item was ripui. Not only does he have to pay for the damage that was done to the person, the actual depreciation of its value as if he was sold a slave, and for the pain that he went through, but ripui, he has to pay for the healing, for the doctor bills. As the Mishnah explained, hiko, if he hit him, chayv l'rafa iso, yes, to heal him, b'chulu, etc., which the Gemara elaborates on the etc., turn upon when the b'raisa. Alabait smacha machma samakev. Let's say somebody develops, the victim develops blisters in the where the wound was. Now, v'nistera hamaka, and then that the or if, let's say, if the wound comes back, so explains the b'raisa, chayv l'rafa iso, so he has to heal him, both for the post-traumatic injury, which is the blisters, or if it came back, it wasn't totally healed. So chayv l'rafaisai. And moreover, chayv litnei demei shifta, he has to give him, he has to pay for him. Now he's losing work because of the injury coming back or because of the blisters. So now that he fell back into bed, he has to compensate him, besides the doctor bills, also for the loss of work. Now, shalemach masamach, but if, let's say, it came back, let's say, not because of the original wound, or the blisters came not because of the wound, then in the chayv l'rafaisai, then it doesn't have to heal him. Ve'in the chayv l'itnoi d'mei shiftei, doesn't have to pay him for the loss of work. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. In Behudaim, he says, af mach masamach, he says, even in a situation when the blisters, let's say, were because of the wound, chayv l'rafaisai, yes, he has to heal him, but he disagrees and he says, ve'in the chayv l'itnoi d'mei shiftei, doesn't have to pay him for the loss of work for that situation of the blisters coming, the post-trauma. The sages say, the third opinion, shiftei v'rifu asai. The loss of work and the healing, the pasuk equates the two, which tells us, kol shechayv b'shabbos, when you're liable for the loss of work, then chayv ripui, then you have to pay for the doctor bills. But v'she'in chayv b'shabbos, but when you're not liable for the loss of work, like in the case that you just described, then in the chayv ripui, then you don't even have to pay for the doctor bills. So therefore, they're saying in this situation, like Yehuda said, that there's no liability for Shevis because it's not the actual wound itself, it's a post-trauma. So therefore, you don't have to pay for the doctor bills either. In contrast to the first Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, said you can be liable for both. So you have three different opinions. Tanakhama said in this situation, you're liable for both. Yehuda said only Ripoy and not Shevis. And the Chacham Basroi, the last Chacham, said you're actually exempt from both. So the Gemara asks, but my commitment, what is the disagreement based on? Some rabbi, he says, Ashkechasina l'rabbanan bebei rav, the Asa B'kam, he says, I encountered the rabbis in the yeshiva who were sitting and they were saying the following interpretation. Hacha b'maka nitna l'agad kemiflik. Here what they're disagreeing about is, was permission given to a victim of an injury to bandage and wrap up the wound because of the pain that he has of the wound, which that will cause, now that he's wrapping it and making it so warm and moist, it's going to cause him to have blisters. Was permission given to a victim to do that? Rabbanan Savri, the first Rabbanan, the Tanakhama held, Maka Nitna L'Agad. A person is allowed to wrap his wound. So therefore, since that's part of the injury, and the cold that comes to the wound hurts him, so he's allowed to wrap it, so though that's causing blisters, but it's still the fault of the assailant. Therefore, he's going to have to pay from the repo and the Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Savol Maka Loi Nitna. Rabbi Yehuda says that a wound, there wasn't permission given Le'eged to go ahead and wrap it up. Now, so therefore, the victim that's wrapping it is doing it for his own pleasure, for his own benefit. So therefore, the blisters that come because of that, that's not the liability and responsibility of the mazik. So therefore, ripui de tana be'kros, so regarding the healing, which the Torah repeats the word two times, so even though really you're not supposed to go ahead and wrap it, you don't have permission as a victim, but since the Torah repeats it two times, so mechayv, you see the Torah holds you really liable to the healing, even in a situation when the victim wasn't really supposed to do that. But regarding healing, regarding the loss of work, which the Torah only said the word one time, not two times, so in a situation where you weren't supposed to go ahead and wrap it, the victim, and now you cause blisters, so he doesn't have to compensate for the loss of work. Now, that's how Rabbi said he heard the rabbis interpreting this machlekes. So it says, and he says that I told them that if the wound was never had permission for the victim to go ahead and wrap it, so no one would say that you'd be liable for the doctor bills because you either would agree that you'd be exempt on the reaper too. Just like it holds by Sheva said you're exempt because you had no permission. Rather, everyone holds that you're allowed to wrap the wound because that was caused by the injury and it's painful for the victim. But permission was never granted to do an extra level of wrapping. Now, that is where they disagree. Since it wasn't given permission to do an extra wrapping, so regarding the healing, the doctor bills, which the Torah repeats it twice, so that's what the Torah is going to hold, that okay, even though you're not supposed to do extra wrapping, you'll be liable. But regarding the loss of work, which it didn't repeat it twice, then you're going to be liable. Then you're not going to be liable. Whereas Rabban Savri, the Tanakhama held, since the Torah repeated the word reaper twice by the doctor bills, so again, that holds you liable to a higher level of healing, even when he wasn't supposed to do the extra wrapping. So therefore, for the loss of work, you're also going to be liable. And the reason is because the iskis l'ripui, because in that same pasuk it says both the doctor bills and the loss of work. So just like the doctor bills are even for the extra wrapping, so to the loss of work. But Rabbi Yehuda Sabi held that no, Shevis loy mechayev, for the loss of work, you're not going to be chayev for the eged yisera that the victim did, because the mighty Rachman Rak, the Torah excludes the liability. It diminishes the liability of loss of work because it used the word rak shivta yitin. Rak is always an exclusionary term that only his loss of work will give meaning, but if let's say he did an extra wrapping, then you're not going to be chayv. So ripu yes, because rapa yirapa, but loss of work not. Whereas Rabbanan, meaning the Tanakhama, would tell you that rak, which is, yes, it's a miut, it's an exclusionary term, that is l'shaloi machmas hamakuhu da'asa. That's only coming to say, if let's say, as Igmo will later explain, if let's say the victim didn't listen to the doctor's orders. So therefore, the blisters, the post-trauma ended up coming not because of the original wound that was inflicted by the mazik, but rather because the victim didn't follow doctor's orders. That's the case where then the mazik doesn't have to pay for the loss of work. But if it's only because he wrapped himself twice, even though it's loy nitna maka la eged yisera, still, then we will compare the Shevis to ripoy, and just like over there by the dactibles, you'll be chayv sofu, so too with the loss of work. And rak again is diminishing this other case. Now the Gemara asks, okay, that explains, as Rabbi said, the machlekes Tanakama Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbanan Basroi, according to this third opinion, the later Rabbanan, the Amri Kol Shechai B'Shevis Chai B'Ripa, that they said only when you're chayv for loss of work are you chayv for doctor bills. But V'Chol She'ein Chayv B'Shevis, Ein Chayv B'Ripa, but if you're not liable for the doctor bills, meaning like Rabbi Huda's case, in regards to this case of Eged Yeseret, where he said that Rak Shifti Yitin excludes the loss of work from the liability. So therefore they hold, so too the Hekesh goes the other way, She'ein Chayv B'Ripa, so therefore you're not even chayv for the doctor bills either in Eged Yeseret. So Reaper the Tanabe Kro Lomali. So according to their opinion, why does the Torah repeat the word Reaper two times? Rabbanan and even Rabbi Huda say repeats it two times to say that you'll have a higher level of liability for healing even by Eged Yisera. But they don't hold like that because they compare it to Shevis, which you're exempt by Eged Yisera by doing extra wrapping. So why does the Torah repeat the word Reaper two times? So that the Gemara says, Mibayle look at the Tanabe Bishmol. It's for necessary for a different halacha which is taught in the Brayse of the Shibre Bishmol. The Talmud learned the Brisa, the Beir Bishmol Eimer, says in the Pasuk, which we were just quoting, V'rapa yirapa, he shall surely heal him, which is as usually translated, But it says, V'rapi rapi, meaning mikan, from here, shenitin rishus l'roipe l'rafis. This is the source from where we know that a person is allowed to have a doctor heal his wound. And that's what we learn out from V'rapi yirapi. Meaning, you would think that, wait a minute, if Hashem wants this person to be sick, who are you to go ahead and heal him? You're going against the divine plan. Meaning, because actually, as Tosafot explains, that why do you need rapi rapi? Why do you need the redundancy, which is the superfluosity that we're saying is a ribui, to learn now that you're allowed to go to a doctor and heal yourself? Just by saying one word, rapi, would tell us that you're allowed to heal. Why do you need both? That Tosafot says that you would have thought that it's only when a person injures another person, then you're allowed to go ahead and heal yourself. But an illness that comes from the person's own body, meaning from Shemayim, from heaven, when the person would heal himself, it would seem like he's destroying, he's negating Hashem's decree, the decree of the king wants him to be sick, who are you to go ahead and heal? That's the chiddush from the extra word, v'rapa yirapa, which is that you're allowed to even heal when it's from the hands of heaven that the person becomes sick. That's what we learn now from v'rapa yirapa, but again, not to say that we're any more stringent on refuah than we are on Shavuos. Tarabon, learn the brisa. Continuing on these halachas. Where do we know that if, let's say, a person develops blisters because of the wound, or v'nistra mako, or if it comes back, it didn't fully heal. Shechayv l'rfo, I say that the mazik has to still go ahead and heal this guy, and v'chayv l'itin l'shifta, even has to pay him for the loss of work. Tamalim, that's what Pasuk teaches, rak shifta yitin, it's just that he has to give him his loss of work, v'rapi yirapi, and has to heal him, which again, this is going like that opinion that since the Torah repeated it two times, the word refuah, is to make you liable even on blisters, a higher level of liability. And the Pasuk is equating Shevis, loss of work, to refuah, to say that just like by refuah you're going to be chayv, so too for Shevis. Now, says the Braisa, Yochel afilu shleimach masamaka, you would think that he would have to pay him even if, let's say, the wound that came back was not because of the original wound. Tamalim rak, that's what the word rak comes to exclude. That no, it's only if it's because of what he inflicted on him. But if he got sick for some other reason, of course the mazik's not going to be chayv. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Behuda Aimer, he says that af machmas hamakapata. He says, no, actually, that even if the blisters come because of the wound, you're going to be exempt from compensating him for that. Shnema rak, because it says rak, which is an exclusionary term, saying that no, you're not required for this higher level of care, even for the post-trauma, only for the trauma itself. Now, regarding this opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Behuda, the Gemara says, Iker da'amri, that those that say, when he says, af machmas hamakapata, that also, even if it comes because of the wound, you're going to be exempt from the blisters, he meant legamri. You're totally exempt, meaning not just on the loss of work, but even on the doctor bills, which is karabana basroi. That would be going like the third opinion, the previous brisa, which equated refuah to Shevis. And just like Shevis, the rock excludes it from the higher level, so too, refuah. Ve'egedamri, those that say, no, when he says, af machmas hamaka pater, that even if the blisters come because of the wound, you're going to be exempt, it was you're exempt me Shevis from the loss of work. But v'chai b'ripa, you will be liable on the doctor bills, kaman, who would that be going like ke'avu? It'd be going like his father. Like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael Behuda would be saying, as we quoted him before in the previous brisa, Behuda said, there's a difference between Shevis and refuah. Refuah, it repeats it twice to say there's a higher level of liability in regards, however, to Shevis, where it says rak, which is an exclusionary term, there you're not going to be chayv because of the post-trauma, but regarding refuah, you will be, and according to that interpretation, he's like his father. I think Mark goes back to explain the previous brisa. Amamar, the Tanakama of the brisa said, Yochla filish lemach masamaka. You would think that there would be a liability for the blisters that came, even not because of the wound. Tamalema rak. So that's why we need the word rak to say that if it didn't come because of the wound, then you're not going to be chayv. So the Gemara wonders, Shalemach Masamaka Boyakro, you need a pasuk to say that the mazik is exempt for something else that happened to this guy, he got blisters, if it wasn't caused because of the wound, of course you're going to be exempt. It's not something that he inflicted on him. So Amadei said, my shalemach masamaka, and this is how we explained in the other man, the Amr previously, we alluded to this. What does it mean, not because of the wound? Kedetan, like we learned in the Braisa, Haresh over al divrei rofe, meaning if somebody violated doctor's orders, which as Tosafot says, that's not such a negligence as much as something that happened totally unrelated. This was related to the original maka, but the victim didn't listen to doctor's orders. V'achol dvash, I call mini matika, and he ate honey or all the other types of sweets. Now, Mepnesha Dvash Bchalmini Matika Koshlamaka. Now, the reason why the doctor said to stay away from these things is because honey and all types of sweets are harsh, are harmful, are bad for the healing of the wound. And therefore, Vehelamakosa Gargusni, so the wound developed Gargusni. It's regarding that halacha that Yochel Yehechayev L'Refa'isa, you would think that the mazik would still have to heal him, because ultimately it is a consequence of the wound, but it's the victim's negligence of not taking care of the wound. So you would think that it'd be chayev tamalem rak. That's what the pasuk is teaching with the meat of rak, not like Rabbi Huda, which was the rabban who disagreed with him, who said rak holds a lower level of liability for the Shabbos. They said, no, it's if it comes shleimach mazamaka, which we're wondering, shleimach mazamaka, why would you think he's chayev? Yes, because it really is because of the maka, but it's not directly because of that. It's because of the negligence of the victim, of the patient who's not following doctor's orders. That's what rak teaches, that in such a case, the mazik is not going to be chayev. Now the Gemara clarifies my gargusni. What is this that it develops gargusni? It's nosa chrichsa, meaning it's dead flesh. That happens because of not following doctor's orders. It's regarding that that he's exempt, and that we know from the meat of rak, according to the Pinya of the Tanna Kamma over there. So the Gemara says, Maya Susei, what's the remedy for this dead flesh? It's ahala, it's aloe, vikira, and wax, vikalba, and resin, which is in the wine barrels. So those three ingredients can heal that gargusni. Continuing on these halachas of chiyuv for the mazik to heal the nizik, the Gemara says that vi'i amale, if the mazik tells to the victim, asyachana, I'm going to heal you. I'm not going to pay for doctor bills. I'll take care of you. So amale, so the victim could tell him, damas olai ka'arya arva, you appear to me like a lion waiting in ambush, meaning I don't trust you. You, the guy who injured me, I can't have you heal me. And therefore, he's allowed to refuse medical care from the mazik himself. Now, vi'i amale, and if the mazik tells to the victim, okay, meisina asi de mogin be mogin, I'm going to bring a doctor that's going to heal you for free, meaning he's my relative, he'll do me a favor. I don't want to shell $1,000 to heal you. I'll bring my relative, he'll do it for free. Amale, the victim could tell to the assailant, no, asi de mogin be mogin, the doctor that heals for free, mogin shava, he's worth free. Meaning if a doctor who heals for nothing is worth nothing, he's not going to be a good doctor, and therefore he could refuse that care too. Now, v'yamen, if the mazik tells the nizik, okay, ma'isina lach asti rechika, I'm going to bring you a doctor who lives very far away. He'll give me a good price. He's very cheap, and you know, so therefore I want to get a doctor from there. So amalei, so the victim could tell him, asti rechika eina avira, a faraway doctor could blind the eye. In other words, he's going to end up leaving. He's going to go back to his hometown. He's not going to be concerned if he blinds someone else's eyes, and therefore I don't want to have a doctor from far away, and he could refuse that care. Now, if let's say the other way around, let's say if the victim tells to the mazik, you know what, havli li didi, v'anomasi nafshoi, and I'll heal myself, don't worry, I'll take care of myself. So amalei, so the mazik could tell him, no, peshad benafshach, you're going to be negligent regarding yourself, v'shakalt minotvei, you're going to then demand more money from me. I mean, I have to heal you. You're saying I should just pay you how much the medical bills usually cost and you'll heal yourself? I don't trust you. You're not going to take care of yourself, and I'm going to have to keep on paying into this till you get healed. Now, v'i amale, and even if the victim tells the mazik, you know what, kaitzli makets, we'll make up a set amount of money, and that's all you have to pay me. And then don't worry, if I don't get healed, you won't be held liable anyway. Still, amale, the mazik could tell the nizik, no, kol shekin, all the more so, I don't like that approach that you're negotiating. Because if it's going to be the peshat benafshach that you're not going to take care of yourself, it's going to be very embarrassing and degrading for me, because v'kar ulishar hamazik, people are going to call me a damaging ox. Like, look at this guy. He ran this guy over. He damaged this guy. And look at this guy. This guy's sick for all these years. And I paid you all the money, but no one's going to know that. And they're going to hold me as this terrible person. So therefore, that for sure, I don't like that option. Like, giving you a set amount. I don't like the first one either. I'm going to have to keep on paying into it. But I definitely don't like this one. And therefore, he could refuse that option too. And instead, to pay for the actual doctor bill so that he actually heals him. And that he's not called a shor hamazik. Now, the Gemara continues with the related discussion. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, the Kulon, not just as we explained on the beginning of this Amid regarding the halacha of Tsar, b'makam nezik, but actually all of the Dal Dvarim, Tsar, Reprashev, Esboishas, Mishtalman, b'makam nezik, are liable for payment, even though that there's also going to be compensation for the damages. Even so, one would think maybe if you're paying for the damages, that encompasses everything. No, you're going to pay for each one individually, not just even if it's the only thing that's happening. It's not just doctor bills, it's not just loss of work, there's also the damage. That doesn't encompass everything. You have to pay for these things with the nezik too. So the Gemara says, Manan immediately, from where do we know this from? How do we know that when you're anyways paying for the damages, that you also have to pay for these subcategories with that too? So Amar Vizmin Meshmeid the Rabbi says, because Amakra, the Pasuk says, Petza tachas patza, a wound in place of a wound. So that comes to teach us, Litin Tsar b'makom nezek, that one has to compensate for the pain, even in a situation where there's already the compensation for the damages itself, which Tosfos elsewhere teaches that it's not coming to teach us just pain, but actually all of the liabilities. The ripui, the shevis, the baishis, all of them are going to be b'makom nezek. Now the reason why we know this is because this is an extra pasuk. Because the pasuk in the beginning there already said kviya tachas kviya. Why does it have to say petza tachas patza? Why add on a new terminology? You're already saying that you get what you have to pay for what you did. So why say another terminology? To say that even when there's already nezek, still you're going to have to pay for additionally the tsar b'makom the nezek, as we said, which is insinuated by the term kviya, which is the burn, that you have an extra pasuk to say that it's going to be both. It's not going to be just for the damages. You're also going to have to pay for the pain, and again, all the other things, even when you're compensating for the damages itself. Now the Gemara asks, but how could you say petzatachas patzah is the extra pasuk to teach us? You're not only going to pay for the nezik, but even the tzar b'makom the nezik. But you needed to teach us a different halacha. As the Gemara continues on Tamid Beis, l'rabbi shoygi kemezid v'ainis karatzin, as was taught on the second paragraph of Chavah Mabeis, that the reason why it says another terminology is to say, not just like you would think maybe a person would be liable for when he does it deliberately or when he does it willingly, but actually it comes to add more liability even when he does it by mistake or even when he's coerced to do that, it doesn't make a difference, he's going to be liable. So how can you say it's coming to teach this halacha when it's coming to teach l'rabbi shoygi kemezid v'ainis karatzin? How do we know that it's even regarding tzar b'makom nezek? So the Gemara answers, im kein, if that was the case, nichtav kro petza b'petza. It should have said a wound for a wound. My petza tachas patza. Why does it say a wound in place of a wound? The word tachas is an extra word. You could have said it just with a beis. It's coming to include both halachas. One is l'rabbi shoygi kemezid. And additionally, it's to say that you're going to pay even with tsar and all the other things, but makom nezek, even when you're anyways compensating for the damage itself. Similar interpretation, Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Amar, he says, Amakra, the pasuk says, v'rapi yirapi, that heal he should surely hear, heal, which is litin rufu b'makom nezek, is to say that you always have to pay for the doctor bills, even when you're anyways paying for the damages that you had done to the victim. So the Gemara asks, haim b'ayilei, look at the ton b'ribi shmol, but you need this pasuk v'rapi yirapi, as we mentioned, Amid Aleph, for the brisa of yeshiva v'ribi shmol. The Tanya Baby Shmuel, it says, V'rapi, Yerapi, heal, he shall surely heal. Mikanshanit and Rishus, L'rapi, L'rapi, this is the source of the halacha that a doctor is allowed to heal, as we mentioned from Taisus, that it's not considered going against Hashem's decree. So how can you say that it's here to tell you that it's even B'makom Nezek, it's here to teach that you're allowed to use a doctor? And that answers the Gemara, M.K. Nichtav Krav, V'rapi, Yerapi. You're right, this is the source that a doctor is allowed to heal. But if it was only telling us that, it should have said, V'rapi, Yerapi, that the doctor could heal. Why does it say v'rapi yirapi? Shema mina litin refu b'makom nezek is coming to teach an added element of dimension of liability for the healing purposes, which is to say that even when you're paying for the nezek, you got to pay for the refu too. But the Gemara still asks, v'akati mi b'ayilei l'kadam martin, but you still need the redundancy, not just to say the doctor bills, but not to say that the doctor could heal, but actually, as we said in Amud Aleph, which is lemisni be'kra b'ripa, we brought other interpretations. Why is it that they repeat the word v'rapi, which we said is to create the liability of, let's say, when he has the blisters, the post-trauma, which is that if it comes because of the makkah, that then the person has to pay for it. So it's not here extra to say that it's even b'makom nezek. It's to say that you have to pay for doctor bills even when the blisters come, as we mentioned from the Pinya of the Tanakama. So how can you say it's coming to teach even regarding to have to pay for the doctor bills by makom nezek? And that answers the Gemara, im kein, if that all it was teaching, was le makra, the pasuk should have said, oi rapi rapi, oi yirapi yirapi. Should have kept the same word and just said the same word twice. My v'rapi yirapi, sh'mamino litin refu b'makom nezek. So teach you that you have to pay for the doctor bills even when you're anyways paying him, compensating for the damage itself. So the pasuk teaches three things. The idea that it talks about healing is obviously you're allowed to go to a doctor. The fact that it repeats it two times is telling you that you're going to be liable even for the post-trauma, even for the blisters that come because of the makkah. And the fact that it changed the word, it didn't just repeat it two times and say rapi, rapi, or yirapi, yirapi. It changes it, comes to teach that third halacha that was coming to tell us that even b'makom nezek, you have to pay for the refuah. Now the Gemara asked, regarding this brisa that said that for all these four things, besides the nezek, which is the fifth thing, you have to pay for them even b'makom nezek. So the Gemara infers, machlal, the mishkachas lehu shalot b'makom nezek. The inference is that you could have the liability of these four things even when there's no actual damage which you have to compensate him for. So the question is, shalot b'makom nezek, heichem mishkachas lehu, how can you have all these four things of tzar, ripui, sheves, and baishes in a situation where you didn't depreciate from this person's value, that you didn't injure him, you didn't create an injury that makes him lose value? How can that then, let's say, make him lose work or create humiliation and so on? So the Gemara says, tzar is kediktani. The case of pain, we actually learned in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said clearly, tzar, pain, is kevoy b'shvudav. Let's say he burns him with a spit, ayiv mismar or mamasmar, or with nails. Vafil al tzipurne, the Mishnah said, even on his nails, which is mokim she'inu yischabu, which it doesn't inflict a wound. Still, the Mishnah told us that you're going to have to pay for the pain, again, which is a situation where there's no nezik. Ripui, how do you have medical bills when there is no depreciation of the value? Is in a case like to have a koivle midi besalik. So let's say something was hurting him. And it was in the process of healing. So he had a wound in his flesh, and it was in the middle of healing. Now, va'aisilei, now this mazik came and brought samacharifa, a strong potion, the achveri lebisra, and he threw it on this guy's injury, which was healing already, but now that he threw it on there, it turned the healing flesh into white, as if it had the color of like tsaras. Now he has to then compensate him for the doctor bills for a potion that could then turn the color of flesh back to the normal color. So that's not a case of depreciation, because actually the guy's, it was healing. It wasn't anything that he took him down the value. But he has to pay for the doctor bills to heal the coloring. That's a case of where there's no nezik, but there's a chiyuv refuah. Sheves, what's a case of loss of work without an actual injury? Is the hadke beindreina, where he locked him up in a cell, ubatle, and he negated him, he stopped him from going to work. That's sheves. Even though there's no injury, you would have to pay for sheves. What's the case of baishas, of humiliation without an actual injury? Is the rukli ba'api, spits in his face? That's humiliating without nezig. So we see that all these cases, yes, you're chayv, even b'makom nezig, and the Gemara just described cases where it would be even shalei b'makom nezig. So the Gemara moves on to the next part of our Mishnah, which speaks about the third item of sheves, of the loss of work, which b'makom nezig in the situation when there's an injury. So the Mishnah said, royin oisei ki'ilu hu shomer kishuin. So we evaluate him, we see him as if he's watching cucumbers. That's the type of work that he's sick now because of the injury. He'll ultimately get well. But besides the fact that, let's say, he lost an arm or a foot, which forever is gone, additionally, he can't work right now. When he gets healed, he'll be able to work, albeit, as we'll see, a lesser type of a job. But for the time being, at least watching cucumbers is something he would be able to do even post his injury, but now he's just sick. For that loss of work, he has to compensate him for. Now, we learn the Brisa that elaborates on this halacha tarabon. Sheves, regarding the loss of work, we view him as if he's watching cucumbers. Now, the Brisa says, and if you're going to say, if that's the case, then the attribute of judgment, of justice, is lacking. In other words, because then it turns out that the mazik, the assailant, is not really paying him according to how much he normally would be making. Now, as the Gemara explains why, because the chimitfa chaygavu, when this guy would be healed, would get out of his sickness because of, let's say, his hand that was cut off, lav igru d'shem kishum hu shakel, he wouldn't only take the low pay of someone who watches cucumbers, ela dali davla, rather he would, let's say, draw water, a water carrier, b'shakel igru, he would take much more money. And it turns out that during his times of his illness, he's losing that amount of money, not just a lower wage of watching cucumbers. Or inami, or in another situation, let's say when his hand is cut off, azl b'shliach b'shakel igra, he would act as an agent, as a messenger boy, and he would get more pay there too. So it turns out that this is not just something that he's watching the cucumbers. So why is he being compensated for a much lower wage? So that says the Braisa, then no, midas adin loy laks, the attribute of justice is not lacking. He has already compensated him for the value of his hand and for his foot. In other words, when he's going to be healed, he's not going to be fit to draw water or to go as a messenger because he's handicapped now. He's missing these abilities. And therefore, the only thing he would be able to be doing is to watch cucumbers. That's what we compensate him for. You would think that no, because Now in this illness, he up until this point had been working, let's say, as a water carrier or as a messenger, as the postal man. And now he's losing that when he's sick. You're right, but we really compensated him for that job that he could have been, which is the value of his hand or his foot that he lost. Now we evaluate it moving forward. Now if he wasn't sick, what would he be able to do? That would just be a shame kishu, and then therefore that's what we pay him for the lack of work. Amar Rav, Rav says, Kita es yaday. If let's say he cuts off his hands, so he could still act as a watchman for the cucumbers. So therefore, Nisan Le Deme Yaday, so he pays him for the value of the hand, that's Nezik. And Veshevis, and the lack of the loss of work of all his days of illness, Roy Nesikilu Shamikishuman, so you view him as if he's watching, he's a cucumber watchman. Now, Shibis Ragle, but let's say he broke his foot and he cracked up his foot, and now he can't watch any more the cucumbers because that requires him to walk around the garden to make sure it's safe. So Nisan Le Deme Ragle, he compensates him for the value of his foot. And Veshevis, regarding the loss of work, Roy Nesikilu Shemes HaPesach, lower job. We view him as if he's just someone that could watch, be the gatekeeper, where there he doesn't have to be mobile. That's a job he could do without his feet. Now, Simes Enei, let's say if he blinds his eye. So Nesan Le'Deme Enei, he gives him the value of his eye. And Veshevis, regarding the loss of work, Roy Nesikilu Matchina Berechaim, we view him as if he's someone who could be grinding at the mill, which doesn't require eyesight. He could just be there grinding. That's the type of job he could do, which he's not doing because he's ill from the injury. But once he gets well, that's the type of job he would be doing. That's what we compensate him for the loss of work. Now, Chirshoy, if let's say he makes him deaf, where now he can't do anything right now, Nisan Le Deme Kulay, he gives him the entire value of his body, which again was the difference how he had been sold as a slave, what he would have been as a healthy person, now he's worth zero, you give him that entire value. Now, Bayi Rava, Rava asked a question relating to this halacha. Let's say he cut off his hand, and he never yet evaluated him in court. In other words, the courts never told to the mazik, okay, you cut off his hand, you got to give him that much for the amount of damage, and you got to pay this much for the doctor bills, you got to pay this much for the amount of loss of work, you got him this amount of pain, this amount of humiliation. The courts never did that, never got a chance to take him to court. Now, but after he cut off his hand, shibes ragli, then he broke his foot, again, before he even healed, meaning with his hand. Vilayim do, and they still didn't evaluate him yet. Simes enoy, vilayim do. Then he blinded his eye, and they still never evaluated him. After all that, he then made him deaf. Maha, what's the halacha? As the Gemara explains the question. Do we say, since he was never taken to court, he was never evaluated for the liability he had by injuring this person by all the stages along. So it's enough when they finally bring him to court, which is the one evaluation, which so you give him his entire value in one shot because he ultimately ended up making him deaf, which is anyways a total loss of the person. So that's all he's going to have to pay for him. Or maybe do you say that, no, you evaluate him each one individually with different damages. At 10 o'clock he did that, at 11 o'clock he did that, at 12 o'clock he did that, at 1 o'clock he did that, at 2 o'clock he did that. Now they only took him to court hours later when they found out what happened. But since each one is individual, so each one gets evaluated separately. Now, as Rashi points out, obviously regarding damages, there wouldn't be any halachic differences in this question. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, every time he did an injury, it took him a little bit to notch down, depreciating his value at certain points. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference if you do one big evaluation or each one individually. It's still, he starts off at $1,000. He went down to $800, then to $600, then to whatever it is with all these different injuries. And then when he made him deaf, he has to pay anyways for his entire value. But as the Gemara explains, nafka mina, the halachic relevancy of this question would be, but however, does he have to give him the pain and the humiliation of each one individually? Meaning, as Rashi explains, regarding the medical bills, that wouldn't be necessary because the case is talking about where he didn't heal in between. So to the loss of work, there wouldn't be any differences because he anyways has to give him the entire value of who he is, and essentially he doesn't have to pay for any loss of work because he already took him down to nothing. He has no value. He wouldn't be able to work. It's like his slave. I paid for your entire value. So there's no loss of work. But the question is regarding the pain and the humiliation. As the Gemara explains, Nehid Nezek V'Ripui V'Sheves, although regarding the damages, the depreciation of his value, and of the doctor bills, and of the loss of work, as we just explained from Rashi, that we're not going to be giving him each one individually. There doesn't make a difference. It's anyways going to be one lump sum of the total loss at the end. Because the kivin the kuyov le demei kuli, since it gives him his entire value by making him deaf, commander kat le dem is like he killed him. V'yahov le demei kuli, and he's giving him the entire value of who he is. Therefore, there's no, if he's dead, there's no more loss of work, there's no more need for doctor bills. He gave him his entire value. But the question is, sorry, b'yishas mias, however, regarding the pain and the humiliation, the chol chod the v'chod yahov, each one independently had its own pain. And the Havalei Tzar Baisha, because he had individual pain and humiliation. So that's the question. Do you say that since he was only taken to court when he made him deaf, then you'll only evaluate it as one big Tzar and one big Baisha? Or do you say, no, each situation was a separate humiliation, you got to pay him for each one individually? That's one question. Then the Gemara says, V'imtim Tzulem, and if you want to say that, no, Kivin Tzulem Du, since he was never evaluated between each of these incidents, so he gives him his entire value at one shot, so if he's not going to pay for anything individually. But I'm duhu mahu. What's Allah if they did evaluate him? In other words, mi amrin, do we say kimin amdu? They evaluated him between every injury, they took him to court. Now, since they were evaluated for each one, so he has to pay for each one individually. Or maybe kimin dalei shlim, since he never ended up paying. So Yov le demei kuli, so therefore when he finally ends up paying, since he ultimately went all the way and then made him deaf, he made a total injury of his whole entire personage. Therefore you would only just give the entire value and not pay for each one individually, even when there was a imid. So the Gemara take or let it stand, it's not clear what the halacha would be in that type of situation.